had a good day today. My day was okay. Been hanging around in banks this week. Got to play with the cash drawers. They're little security devices in the places where they keep a lot of money. I got to be in there. You know, for some reason, just those thoughts of larceny just happen to flow through. I'm able to resist them. I take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. But, you know, am I the only one that would have that? You know, so you just think, look at that pile of money. Okay, maybe I'm revealing too much. Too much. All right. We are going to talk about faith. I know, it's a surprise that it's what I know. It's what motivates me. It's what activates me. It's what reaches the heart of God. It's what moves mountains and changes lives and restores people. You know, all of this is really an issue of faith. And if God says that He's going to do something for you, I want you to begin to settle in your heart that He will do it. If He said He would, He will do it. He always keeps His promises. But I also need to add to that, there are some things that we can do and should do in order to receive from God. Are you with me? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll go on by myself. A perfect example of what I'm talking about tonight is going to be found in the life of Abraham. And I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 18. And this is the story of Abraham as he's sitting out under a tree, or actually near the door of his tent, and he sees three guys on the horizon, and they come to him. And as they pass by anyway, he wants to be hospitable to them. He recognizes it's an apparition of the Lord, that the Lord, and he is in the presence of the Lord, and he says, come on in, come and let me get you some water, let me wash your feet, let me get a nice meal put together for you. And they consent. They come and they join him. This is while, you know, they are next, after hanging out with Abraham for a little while, then they're going to go to Lot, as Pastor Ben was preaching about, I think it was just last Sunday. They are going to go on. But in this area, they are with Abraham, and they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? This is verse 9, Genesis 18. So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Yeah, you really did. You laughed. So God made a promise to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son. Big deal, because as you know, it says here, they were old. They were beyond the childbearing age. But then if we go to Genesis chapter 21, remember I said, if God makes a promise to you, He will keep that promise. And you need to have faith in what He has spoken to you. And here in Genesis 21, verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Now, when God promised Abraham and his wife Sarah that they would give birth to a son, Abraham had to do some things. He had to ignore the natural circumstances that were his life at that point, right? He had to have faith in God's promise, what God had spoken to them. He had to believe that God was powerful enough to actually do what he said he would do. And you see, sometimes I believe that's where we just don't seem to catch up with God and what he's trying to do in our lives and what he has promised to us. Oftentimes, we allow the circumstances around us to take us away from our faith. We allow the lack of faith in his faithfulness. In other words, if he's made a promise, oftentimes we're not so sure if we want to believe or if we can believe that promise. And then we have to believe that he is powerful enough to do what he said he would do. God said he would do it. But to see the fulfillment, to see the manifestation of God's promise, Abraham also did a few things. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. This is actually one of my favorite faith scriptures. And oftentimes when I teach about faith and we talk about, give me a definition for faith, I say, this is it, man. This is what faith is. You know, I know Hebrews 1:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's one definition, but this is my favorite definition of faith. And it says about Abraham, and starting in verse 19, Romans 4:19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver. Say, did not waver. Right. At the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Say, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Being fully convinced. Say, being fully convinced. Yes. That what he had promised, he was also able to perform. This scripture shows us four steps that Abraham took to receive the son that God had promised him. Now, again, think of this miracle. I mean, this isn't just a promise of blessing. I mean, this is an outright promise of miracle. This is something that has to go beyond the natural way of life, the natural laws of this earth. Abraham is held up for us, of course, as an example for our faith here in Romans chapter 4. And if we're going to receive from God, I believe we're going to have to follow this pattern. We're going to have to do just as Abraham did. That is, we need to not consider, we need to not waver, we need to give glory to God, and we need to be fully convinced. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this evening and the time that we've had already. I thank you for the people who are faithful to come and take part in this service, who want more of you, who want more of the fellowship of this body, who want more of the presence of your Spirit. Lord God, I believe that you are going to reward us as we diligently seek you. And Lord, tonight we seek the truth about this matter of believing, about faith, about receiving the promises that you have made to us. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would just lighten our spirits to the prospect of what you are going to do. Lord, that even as we listen and go through this message, you are going to bring back promises that we maybe have set aside so that we can take them up again and believe and hold fast to them and be confident in them. And Lord, I pray that in this message, there will be mind-changing truth imparted by your Spirit and the word spoken tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I said there are four things that Abraham did, and we're going to kind of work through those this evening. Number one, I said Abraham didn't consider. Abraham did not consider. He didn't take into account the natural circumstances the circumstances of his own body, the circumstances of his wife's body, that any sane person looking at that situation would know that it was impossible for him and Sarah to have a child. But he didn't let those circumstances influence his faith. Man, oh man, we are so influenced by the things that we see, by the things that we feel, by the natural world that surrounds us, because we are part of that natural world. I mean, we are flesh and blood as well. And it is so difficult to set that aside and just focus on what God has told us. Abraham was able somehow to do that, and I believe it's because of the relationship that he had with God. It's why he is held up as an example of faith for us. Hallelujah. He didn't let the circumstances in his life influence his faith. Now, you know, how many would admit that's hard? It is hard to hold on to your faith when everything is telling you, nah. Or just that's almost too much for me to believe for. That's too much for me to comprehend. And I don't want to give you the wrong impression. I'm not telling you that we totally ignore natural circumstances and just go off and do something crazy. But what I am telling you is that when you are believing to receive a promise that God has given you, to receive the fulfillment of God's goodness in your life, that the Word tells you, or maybe that you've received a word by the Spirit of, or through a respected prophet, that when you've received that word, that you are going to believe for the fulfillment of that promise and not spend your time focusing on the natural circumstances, not spending your time thinking through all of the reasons why it probably won't happen. Oh man, I really love that to happen. Oh, that's a good word, God. I received that, God. I'd love to see that take place in my life, but I don't know that it will really happen. Because have you considered this? Do you know about that situation? In the New International Version, where it talks about him being weak in verse 19 and not being weak in faith, okay, in him not being weak, the New International Version translates that as without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. By the way, I just brought to mind something as I was reading this yesterday. You know, when it says he did not consider his own body already dead. Now, Abraham wasn't dead in the sense that we say dead. I mean, he was alive. He was above ground, right? And it says of his wife as well, the deadness of Sarah's womb. One of the things that we know about God is God is a God of life. God is a God of regeneration, right? And it's interesting that the Bible terms it that Abraham's body was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. Why? Because they were incapable on their own without this promise and blessing and miracle of God. They were incapable on their own of actually producing life, of regenerating life. And you know, I thought about that. I wonder if we apply that same concept to Christians, how many Christians who don't regenerate life, who don't share faith, who don't bring new life, how many of them we might consider, or the Bible's terminology might be, they're dead. I want to be alive. And I want to in a spiritual sense, procreate, right? We should go out and we should be bringing new believers, seeing them born again. Anyway, side note, just a thought I had about this whole concept of Abraham's own body already dead when he was alive. He just was not reproducing. You are alive, you believer, and if you are not reproducing, you should probably reconsider how that should go. Anyway, it doesn't say that Abraham didn't consider, that he didn't consider because he didn't know the circumstances, that he didn't know his age, he didn't know Sarah's age. It doesn't say he didn't consider because of that. It's because he decided that the natural circumstances were subject to God Almighty. Your natural circumstances, though they may seem like they are not poised for God's promise to be fulfilled in your life, you need to understand your natural circumstances don't determine what God does. Your natural circumstances don't hinder God in what he has promised and what he is able to do. It doesn't matter what you're believing God for. You don't have to consider the circumstances that surround that particular situation. I mean, I'll talk more about that. You see, if you start thinking all about the natural conditions that you are encountering, or you start thinking about, well, you know, I believe it's going to happen, but there are a lot of others around me who seem to doubt that this is even possible. If you begin to consider that, you will lose your hold on the promise that God has for you, and it will weaken your faith. Abraham did not weaken in his faith because he did not consider the circumstances of his natural body. Abraham's faith was not weak. And in fact, the word weak here that we see in the New King James Version, it's translated weak here, it means to be feeble, to be diseased, to be impotent, to be sick. Well, that wasn't Abraham. A lot of people have diseased faith, but not Abraham. Abraham's faith was well, it was healthy, it was not weak, it was strong. And what happened? Abraham saw the fulfillment of that miracle promise. Abraham's faith was so strong that he didn't consider the fact that both he and Sarah were beyond the age of having children. Sarah laughed, but Abraham held firm to that faith. Abraham, when they told him that he would have a son, according to what we see in the scriptures, he didn't even blink an eye. Like, okay. He did not allow the obvious obstacles that were in front of him to stop him in his believing of what God said. Second thing, we don't want to waver. Number two, don't waver. If you'll go back and you'll read the story in Genesis 18, 1 through 15, again, you'll notice that Sarah laughed. She just thought it humorous or thought it was funny in just an odd kind of way that she might be of childbearing age. Before we're too hard on her, let's consider our own situations. Let's consider how we would have thought in that time. Would you have believed? If you were 100 years old, would you have believed? 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. Sarah laughed, but Abraham didn't say anything against it. He didn't waver. Now, the contemporary English version says, but Abraham never doubted or questioned God's promise. That's what it means by not wavering. He never doubted. He never questioned the promise. He was going to hold on to that. A person who staggers or wavers in faith will not receive anything from God. We all know that scripture in James, James 1, verses 6 through 7. Let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Man, that's kind of a tough word when you think about it. Don't think too much about it. just know, you don't want to waver. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to waver. All of us at one point or another, of course, we've read some inspiring book. We've listened to a great sermon. We have encountered a personal testimony from somebody that really motivated us, and we were encouraged, and we were boosted spiritually, and we were really strong at that moment in faith. I mean, have you ever been in one of those times where somebody just shares a word and a testimony, and it's like, man, God is so good. God can do anything. And in that moment, you could probably believe for anything. The problem is that moment passes. We'd make all the right confessions. We keep concentrating on the word, but in a few days, enthusiasm begins to wane. We lose our focus. We start to waver. We start looking at the natural circumstances, and eventually we end up giving up. Sad, sad. And that's exactly what we're not supposed to do, right? In other words, not beginning to consider our situation. Sometimes time is a great killer of faith. I don't know about you, when God tells me something, when God gives me a promise, when God reveals something that he wants to do in my life, I think it's going to happen like tomorrow. Right? I mean, we think, yeah, that's going to happen tomorrow. I'm ready, God. Let's do it. And then 2 weeks from tomorrow, you're going, I thought it was going to happen right away, but it hasn't happened yet. But I'm still holding on. And then 2 months go by, and it becomes more and more difficult to hold on to that promise because we have so many things to consider. Not considering, not wavering go hand in hand. You can't separate them. And listen, the enemy will always, always, always try to get you to focus on your circumstances. Always. When you make a statement of faith, you're declaring for what you're believing God for, the first thing that is going to happen is he's going to start asking you questions. He's going to start sowing seeds of doubt in your mind. He'll ask, well, have you considered this? Abraham, do you realize how old you are? Have you thought about that? I mean, you realize that your wife hasn't had any children up to this point, and it's like she's 90. Do you know what you're believing for goes against what's already happening in the natural? I tell you, if you ignore him, ignore the devil when he's beginning to bring those doubts to your mind, if you ignore him and hold on to your faith, the enemy will back off for a while. He will. But later he's going to come back. He will come back and he'll say, why hasn't God done it yet? Maybe you heard wrong. Maybe you got it wrong. I mean, if God were going to answer you, if God were going to do what he promised, he would have already done it. Maybe you're just confused. The devil will try and discourage you. Actually, the tactics of the enemy are no different today than they were back in the Garden of Eden, right? I mean, the enemy came to Eve, her questioning everything. Well, you know, God said such and such. But have you thought about this? You see, if the enemy can get us to consider everything around us, well, he can get you to waver. He can get you to waver at the promise. He can get you to really even forfeit the promise that God has given to you. So don't consider the situation or the circumstances. And again, that doesn't mean that the circumstances don't exist. I'm not one of those people that says, well, it just doesn't, you know, it's like, hold your ears, la, 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 I can't hear that. No. The circumstances do exist. Some people think when I say don't consider the circumstances that I'm just telling you, just deny the situation. Deny what's happening around you. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is you first have to have the knowledge of God's promise. And in order to receive that promise, you have to acknowledge the circumstances that you're in. For example, if you are an unsaved person, you have to acknowledge that you are a sinner, right? In order to be able to receive by faith what God has promised, what God has given to you, you have to acknowledge that. Well, in the same way, you have to acknowledge that you need, let's say, healing before you can believe for healing. I mean, if I came up to you and I said, I'm going to pray for your healing of a headache, Amy. And Amy goes, I don't have a headache. Well, that's not going to work well. Right? If she has a headache and she still says, I don't have a headache, that's not reality. So we're not saying you just totally ignore the circumstances, but you don't consider. You don't allow the circumstances to override the Word of God. You don't allow what's going on in your life to take precedence over His Word. You have to acknowledge the facts, but you don't have to dwell on them. That's where we get into trouble. We spend more time thinking about the problem. We spend more time thinking about why it hasn't happened. We spend more time wondering if God is truly going to do what He said instead of just believing for what He said. Abraham acknowledged the fact that he was almost 100 years old. He knew the condition of his body. He understood that. He just did not allow the condition of his body to be what was the main focus of his life. He refused to consider those things, as the Bible terms it. That is, to focus on those things. Instead, he chose to consider, to focus on what God had said. Number three. The third thing that he did, he gave glory to God. Look at the second half of Romans 4:20, where it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And I believe we can take that to mean that as he gave glory to God, it strengthened his faith. We need to give God glory. It's an important step, I believe, that enabled Abraham to receive from God. Now, I want you to notice, Abraham gave glory to God for the blessing before it ever happened. Before the child was born, before Sarah showed any signs of pregnancy, Abraham was giving glory to God. Hallelujah. That kind of lines up with what the New Testament teaches us. If you believe a promise that God has made to you, then you should thank Him for the answer. Thank Him for the answer before you see the answer. Thank Him for the answer when you pray. Thank Him for the answer when you worship. Thank Him for the answer when you just go through the normal course of your day. Why? Because you are demonstrating your faith in what He has promised, in His Word. Now, you need to be truly thankful and not just, you know, this is not one of those formula things. You know, well, if you just say these magic words, it all works. No, you're going to have to believe His Word. You're going to have to ignore your circumstances. And in that situation, begin to praise Him. If you believe that He is going to do it, that there's really a foregone conclusion once He says it, then it's like, okay, God said it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you believe a promise that God made to you, thank Him for the answer now. Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. It says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, that is your definite requests, with thanksgiving continue to make your wants known to God. Don't wait until you get the answer before you begin praising God. Right? I mean, today you may be faced with obstacles. You may be faced with situations that, you know, seem to have you in a box, so to speak. You don't see how it's going to work out. You need to recognize that the facts exist, okay? But you don't consider them. You're only going to consider what God says. And of course, it's very difficult to only consider what God says because we live in this natural world. It's even more difficult to consider what God says if you don't know His Word. If you don't know His Word intimately. Too many people are trying to receive from God, but they don't know even what the Word says about themselves. They don't know the promises God has made to them. And so they can't hang on by faith because they have no Word. Someone told them what God said, or heard a testimony, or you know, how God's Word delivered somebody else. But I'm telling you, that's not good enough. If you know what God says, you can begin to praise Him now for it. If you know what He says, if you're going to consider what God said, you're going to have to know His Word for yourself. That's something we can't do for you. See, it has to be your word, meaning it has to be meaningful to you. It has to be something that you have seen, and God has highlighted that in your heart and in your mind to know that's a word of God for you. That's a promise that God is going to fulfill in your life. It's one thing to say, well, I think so, or I heard this is possible. But it's another thing to say, I know, because I know, because I know God. I know His Word. When the Word is yours and you say, I know, well, that means you're convinced beyond that shadow of a doubt. That means you've got some strength that you can hold on to that will overcome the circumstances around you. You've got something else to focus on, right? You've got something besides the natural circumstances in your life to focus on. And the last part, step number 4, let me get done early tonight. Glory to God. Step number 4, Abraham was strong in faith. He didn't consider the circumstances. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief because he was fully convinced. Fully convinced. Are you fully convinced? You see, our part in seeing God's promises fulfilled is to not consider, not waver, to give God glory, and to be fully convinced. What are we convinced of? We are convinced of what Abraham was convinced of, that God is able to do exactly what He said He would do. Us being convinced of that is our part of this equation. God's part is the doing. You know, He's going to do it. We just need to be convinced of it. It's important that we leave the doing to God, by the way, because we know Abraham believed God. And as time went on, he began to consider, maybe I didn't hear it quite right. Maybe this child is going to come through a surrogate to Sarah. And that created all kinds of problems from that point on. So, it's important that we are fully convinced that He will do exactly what He said He will do. Remember, if He said He was going to do it, He will do it. Don't try to figure out how He's going to do it. That's a hard thing not to do, too. You know, again, you're anything like me, God says something that you believe is a promise that He's going to fulfill in your life, and you begin to think, that's going to happen tomorrow. And then when it doesn't happen tomorrow, you begin to think, okay, so how are you going to do this, God? Maybe it's different than what I thought, and it's going to happen this way, and it's going to happen that way. And I try and think my way through all of the different possibilities and all of the different circumstances that might bring about the result that I think God has promised for my life. You need to just be confident that he is able to do it, that he will do it, and leave it to him. Let him do it. If you have to get in there and do part of it for him, then that's not really God doing it, is it? And I assure you, you will mess it up. You will mess it up. Let God do what he said he would do. If we are staggering in our position of that, if we're wavering, if we're wondering if the promises of God are really for us, well, we're not likely really to receive anything from God. Remember the Apostle Paul. He was on a ship bound for Rome. The wind and the waves arose and started battering the boat, and it was looking pretty bleak. It was such a violent storm that the men on board of that ship gave up all hope of being saved. After several days, Paul encouraged them with a message that an angel from God had given him. He told them, he said, "Take heart, men, for I believe that God, or I believe God, that it will be just as it was told me." You can read about this in Acts chapter 27. That particular line is verse 25. He said, "I believe it will happen just as God told me." And a New International Version uses or translates that line. "So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." Paul was convinced that God would do just what he said. Now, it's not reasonable to think that a ship loaded with passengers is going to go down in a violent storm and that somebody isn't going to die. That's not reasonable. But that's what the angel told him. That's the word of God, the promise that was made to him, that all lives would be saved. They'd have to get a new ship, but all of the lives would be saved. And I tell you, that's exactly what happened. Go ahead and read in that chapter, verses 41 through 44. If God says he will do something for you, he will do it. If you stay steady, if you do not waver. You may feel like you're in the middle of a violent storm sometimes. Your ship is about to go under. But if you'll keep believing God, I tell you, he will deliver you. He will do what he said he will do. Again, he may have to give you a new ship at the end of it, but he will be faithful to his word. Some people think too, well, if God is really in the situation with you, you wouldn't have these problems. You wouldn't go through those tough times, right? If God was really with you, if all of the promises of God are true, well, then you wouldn't have any difficult situations. There wouldn't be any trouble. Well, you don't have to read a lot of the Bible to know that's not exactly what it says. And in fact, if we just follow the lives of those who are shared with us in the New Testament, if not just the Old Testament, you'll notice that people go through difficult times even when God was with them in a very strong and powerful way. For example, Paul. I mean, the one Paul who wrote about Abraham not wavering in his faith here in the book of Romans, Paul was beaten repeatedly and left for dead. He faced death many times. And still he said, "I thank God I am always victorious in Christ." If you look at Paul's life, did he have difficulties? Absolutely. I mean, it's scary if you think about the potential for a person of faith, all that can happen to them. If you don't have a strong faith in God, you'll be worried. Paul wasn't worried about it. Paul was able to stand through the trials and the tribulations and still keep his faith because he, like Abraham, believed that God was fully able to do what he said he would do. He believed that God was for him, not against him. I tell you, if you look at life the way that some people teach faith, you'd have to say that Paul wasn't very successful at all because, I mean, he had all kinds of problems. He had all kinds of issues. He had people that hated him. Wherever he seemed to go, there was a riot. He had, how many times did he have to be snuck out of town, let down in a basket over a wall so that he wouldn't be caught? We're talking about a trial that is not of your own making, of course. See, we can learn something from the Apostle Paul. You follow God, and there will be difficulties, and your life may be threatened, but God is going to take care of you. God is going to see you through it. But we're talking again about trials that are not your own making, that are not a part of your own foolishness or laziness or sin. You know, sometimes people, they end up in a really bad situation in life and they think, well, that's because I'm a Christian. You know, the devil is against me. Well, oftentimes you just stumbled into it yourself. You not only ignored all that God had said about that situation, you just walked right into trial and tribulation of your own. Paul did not have that problem. Paul went through all kinds of trials. It wasn't because of his own foolishness. It wasn't because of laziness or sin. So Paul did go through trials, but in those trials, still he did not consider the situations. He did not waver at the promises of God. He gave glory to God, and he was fully convinced that God would do what God had promised. Fully convinced that God was able to perform all that he said. Even when Paul is heading to Jerusalem and those whom he knows and respects and love are sharing prophecies about if he goes to Jerusalem, they're going to tie him up. The Jews are going to arrest him. Even so, he said, I'm still going because God has made a promise. God has showed me the way to go. He didn't waver at that. Often people say, well, I don't understand why I have to go through all of this. I mean, that's natural. Why would anyone want to? Why would I want to go through this? I don't know why people will go through those kinds of trials and situations. But I keep believing God, and I encourage those who are going through trials and tribulations to keep believing God because God is greater. He is greater in you than he who is in the world, right? Be fully convinced of that. Be fully convinced that what God promised will happen. Abraham was fully convinced. He was so fully convinced that even after Isaac was born and God told him to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, he was willing to obey. And, you know, of a lot of the things that we see in the Bible, I oftentimes think, well, that would be terrible. But I think I could muddle through. But I don't know. Tell me to sacrifice my son. It's one of those, you know, I hope I'd have the faith to follow through. But I don't know that anybody can claim, yeah, sure, I would, if they weren't faced with that situation. That's a very difficult thing. But by his faith, Abraham gave his son and gave glory to God. So instead of saying, you know, why am I in such trouble, we should be saying glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm delivered in all of my circumstances. Thank God I'm delivered from every trial and all of the tribulations that come against me. I still will see victory because God is with me. God is for me, and I am fully convinced of it. As men and women of faith, we don't have to worry about all the stuff that most of the world worries about. The thing you have to consider, not what your circumstances are, but what God has said, what God has promised. He is able, fully able to do what he said he would do. You know, a lot of Christians don't talk about God much. They don't think about God much. And I think a good part of that is because they're not really convinced of who God is. They're not really convinced that what God has said is ultimate truth, that it applies to them. And, you know, it's just a matter of faith. It's just a matter of faith. You can tell by listening to some folks that they really don't know. I mean, there's always a hint of doubt in their voice about any circumstance or any situation in their lives. But in Romans 4:21, it says, being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, God was able to perform. That word able there in Romans 4:21, it means powerful, mighty, having power for something. Abraham believed that God had the strength to do what he promised, that he was strong enough to do what he said he promised, that he was capable enough that he could do what was promised. Are you fully convinced? Do you know that God is fully able? I know we say, sure, God is able to do anything. But sometimes I don't think that we truly have that belief. We have to believe that whatever God has said, he is able to bring to pass. So what is it that you need from God? I mean, everybody needs something. Some of us need a lot. Some of us are content with where we are at the moment, and we don't really think we need anything from God. Well, while you're waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled in your life, do what Abraham did, right? Do exactly what he did. Maintain your confident trust in God and refuse to consider the circumstances around you. Don't consider anything else. Focus on the word. Focus on what God has promised. Focus on what he said to you. Don't waver at his promises through unbelief, and thank him for it. If you believe that he is going to fulfill that promise, thank him now. Be thankful for what he has already given you, and that's faith to believe. Thank God for your victory, and regardless of the time span, hold on to your faith. It's so easy to get discouraged in time and just let it drift away. So easy. God will do what he promised he would do. He is well able, and you can count on that. Amen? Father, thank you that you are faithful. Even when we aren't faithful, even when we don't do our part, you do. You are worthy of our praise. We do give you glory for all that you have done, but even now, as we think about the promises that you've made to us, promises in your word that we see of good health and promises of blessing and promises of peace, that all throughout your word for your people, we thank you for it, Lord. We give you glory for all that you are doing. And I pray, Lord God, that you give us a new revelation, a new understanding that we can hold on to the promise, that we can not be distracted by circumstances that surround us, that in our heart we are fully convinced of your ability, of your power, of the love that you have toward us to fulfill all that your word has promised to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm not the same. Your gospel.